Hi, Neil. How are you?
Good morning, Femke. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good.
I am afraid that it's just going to be you. I have had a few cancellations today.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that's a bit of a shame. It would be nice to do a coaching session or practice
Yeah.
some skills.
Sure. Yes. That's
So,
okay. And I just find out when I arrive at the car park. So I'm in the car park at the train station. It's still very dark in the morning. So then I might log on and see what's happening, but that's okay.
sounds good. So, have you been doing any coaching lately?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I suppose a couple of things. As you know, I'm going through the integral coaching program.
Oh yes.
Yes,
How are you enjoying that?
I'm enjoying it a lot. It's a very different approach to coaching. But it still is, so I'm learning a lot from that, but it still means that you're practicing, I suppose, entering your coaching state and turning up as a coach for someone. So although the process is different,
So
there still is.
what are some of the things that are different about it?
Well, actually, what is useful, and it might link to the next webinar that you're going to do, which I'll enroll for that tomorrow morning, but I've got, whenever it is, Friday morning or something, but I've got another early morning meeting, so I can't be on the call.
Right, and it would
But
be really cool, really early for you too, I think middle of your night.
yeah, I haven't checked the time, but I thought it was like 4 o'clock in the morning or something, but I'd have to double check. Anyway, I mean, that topic about designing a coaching program, so I think that's what integral coaching does well. So it offers you a way to structure a program.
Oh,
So
nice.
it's very simple in terms of, like the intake conversation, followed up by what they call an offer conversation. And then, maybe 3 cycles of development and then a completion session. So there's a program of 6 sessions with very specific guidelines around what each of the sessions is about. So that's good.
Yeah, nice. And I actually see in the meantime that I think that's Cecilia who has joined us.
Yes, hello. How are you? I'm
Yay.
glad to be here. My
Great to
first
have
time.
you.
Yes,
Great
thank you very
to
much.
have you.
I'll try to do my best with the English.
Oh, yes. Well, and if there's anything unclear, then you can always ask questions.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yes. So we were thinking that Neil was going to be the only one. So it's great to have you on the call.
Okay, fine. So we're three now.
We're three now, and
Okay.
Neil is from Australia.
I noticed the accent.
Hello, Cecilia. How are you?
Fine, thank you. You were the one
Good.
who was asking where my home is.
I was, yes.
Yes, you were. Well, my home is in El Salvador. I'm in Central America.
Ah, okay.
We're a very, very small country in the middle of America.
Yes.
Very nice.
And my language is Spanish.
Spanish.
Yes. So English is a second language.
Yes,
I'm
Cecilia.
always amazed by people who speak multiple languages.
Yes,
absolutely.
yes,
absolutely.
Very nice to meet you.
It is, you too.
So, Cecilia, maybe you can share a little bit about yourself, and then Neil can share a little bit about himself.
I started coaching more or less 7 years ago. I came to Mexico to certify as Meta Coach. So I had the practitioner as NLP and then the meta coaching. And then I've been moving around being as a team leader. And last year I went to Mexico again to certify as a neurosemantic trainer. I was with Colin Cox, Lena, and Michael in the 2 weeks last year.
Nice. So
I have my certification in neurosemantic trainer too. And now I would like to be a professional, a PCMC also. And that's why I'm here working with Femke. Excited. This is my first time.
Yes.
I have great expectations because I admire Femke very much, all her knowledge that she has, experience, and so I'm sure I'm with one of the best.
Well, that's good to hear, Cecilia, and welcome to the call. I'm glad that you joined us and look forward to working with you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. So do I.
Yeah. So, Neil, maybe you can share a little bit about yourself.
Sure, yes, like to. Well, I do. I'm working at the moment inside the public sector in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. So I've been there for the last 10 years or so. And over the last few years, I've been more interested in coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone through the MetaCoach training system. And I'm also doing another coach training course at the moment on integral coaching. So looking to combine or have available for me both approaches to coaching. A lot of my work is really around doing consulting work like in foresight and future studies with organizations. So that work is really helping organizations with strategy or with innovation,
mm-hmm.
or with some leadership programs or change management, things like that.
Yeah.
Often, you know, leaders come to me and say, you know, they want to refresh their strategy, but and they'd like to do something a little bit different this time. So I'll bring like a future studies approach to that.
Okay.
And what I'm looking to do is really to combine both of the work in foresight that I do with the work working as a coach. So they both really are focused on enabling people to discover and step into, you know, the futures that they really want to create for themselves, for their teams, and for their organizations. So there's a very lovely match between the two.
Nice.
So that's the mix of things that I'm working on developing at the moment.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. So, Cecilia, since you are new, during this call, what we usually do is start with any questions that you may have. And what we often do is pick like a specific skill, like clarity questions or the strategy process or doing detection and analysis and really focus on that. And it really depends on what we do, really depends on what the group wants to practice today. So we can pick something today.
Okay.
So let's first start with any questions that you may have. So Neil or Cecilia?
Yes, well, maybe the question is how is the dynamic of this meeting? We bring questions and we discuss as a group, or do we send something before?
You can send something before. Or you can propose it in the group as we are on the call.
Okay.
And we usually go like an hour to an hour and a half, somewhere between there.
Okay. Well, this is my first time, so I'm not really very, very prepared. Maybe I would like you to start, and as we go on, maybe I will have the questions.
Yes, that sounds good.
Yes, thank you.
So, Neil, is there anything that you would like to practice today?
Well, how about everything? I'm thinking... well, questioning and meta-questioning, I think, are really critical parts of the coaching process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is sort of like the entry into state induction. So something like that would be valuable.
Yeah, so possibly I think what might be valuable to practice then is to do strategy process.
Yes.
Because for strategy process, you both ask clarity questions, context and trigger, and meta questions to figure out what the present state or the desired state is. So that's something that we could do.
Yes.
Let me just think, Cecilia, for today, do you just want to listen in? Because I can bring a topic and Neil can ask me questions, or do you want to bring in a topic and Neil asks you questions?
Maybe you could start, and if I understand how it goes, I would be stepping in in the middle of the meeting, because one thing I hearing the topic of today is I'm working with an organization today, with a private organization.
Okay.
They hired us because they have how you say it in English? They have a low engagement of the employees.
Okay.
And we just last week we gathered information from the employees. We listened to what they felt and thought about the organization.
Mm-hmm.
It was not. It's all perception. Everything is all what they have in their minds, but not really. The map, how is it to say the map is not the territory? So we will be working in workshops with them, and we will be starting with the managers.
Okay.
We'll be doing team coaching with them, and mainly, I think we will have to step into the meta questions, and so that they understand the reality as they feel it and see it, and that they understand the reality of the employees.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know if I made myself understood.
So what I'm understanding is that there is low engagement from the employees.
Yes.
And you have done interviews with the employees.
Yes.
To see what's going on.
Yes.
And what you're thinking now is that you need to go into asking meta questions of the managers. Is that correct?
Yes. We will be starting doing workshops with the managers, in order for them to understand their responsibility, that they are accountable of how they are communicating with the people.
Okay.
And that all what the people are saying is pure perception, is pure misunderstanding, miscommunication.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that we would like to do is to make them aware that they are responsible of what they are communicating and how they are communicating.
Okay. Okay. And you, would you like to do that in a coaching way?
Yes, in a team coaching, because we are going to have workshops with them. There are 17 managers.
Okay.
We'll be working and trying to give some theory of NLP and some theory of course, the abilities of support, rapport, and listening skills. But yeah. they have to want to.
Of course. To. Yeah. Yeah. So my guess is that there's some feedback involved. Yes. So talking about feedback, receiving feedback.
Yes.
Being specific and then checking in to see how they respond to that and experience that. Meta questions there, definitely, I think, is critical. But I think giving feedback is a critical part of getting them to understand how they are viewed.
But the first step would be making them aware of it.
And then that's the question: how would you make them aware of it?
By making meta questions. That's why the idea came to me, because it's what do they think about what do they believe of what's happening, and what do they believe how are they contributing to that low engagement now?
Right. Yeah. Well, one of the things I think that is important, so that you have the feedback from the employees, and yes. Then I think in terms of like asking them how they relate, they may actually, and that's where meta questions really come in. What do they believe about it? Is that you can then detect if there's any cognitive distortions. Are they really personalizing? Are they blaming the employees? Are they, like, what kind of distortions are there, or what kind of meta programs are operating that stop them from maybe either hearing feedback or from leading, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So once you have done the meta questioning and also grounding it in specific context, then how are they mapping that out?
Yes.
Yeah. So what questions do you have around that for me?
Neil or Cecilia?
You, Cecilia.
Me. Well, that's what I was saying. I would like you to start with Neil, so I can step in and thinking on this specific situation.
Okay.
It's okay for you.
So my idea then is that Neil, then you could practice getting like a strategy process, because I think that would be valuable for you, Cecilia, as well.
Yes.
Be able to ground it in, you know, ground the present state, because what you're going to be doing is get the present state of the managers. So that's what triggers them. What is the context in which they have a specific state that contributes to the lack of engagement? And what do they believe about that, so that you can then help them detect and analyze, hey, let's take a step back. What are we doing here that contributes to low engagement? And how does that relate to the feedback that we're getting?
Yeah. Yes.
Sound good?
Yes. Very nice. Thank you.
Okay. How does that sound, Neil?
Yeah, that sounds good. I think, strategy, process, conversation around a topic like that is really useful. It comes up a lot about... Yeah, stepping into an organization and, you know, the detective work, discovering what is really going on here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So I will bring up a topic, Neil.
Yes.
And then after a while, we'll stop and kind of review like how you're doing, and then maybe Cecilia, if you feel comfortable, you can step in and ask questions as well.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, just so you know, In a little bit, you might be hearing my son in the background.
Yes, I already did. And I love it. I love
it. Lots of noise in the background.
Yes, I love it.
Yes. So, yes, I can drown out background noise, but I just wanted to make you aware that that's happening. He is refusing to take any bottles from my husband now, so
yes,
we have to be a bit flexible there.
Yes, don't worry about it. I understand. I have four children.
Thank you, Cecilia. So, Cecilia, meantime, I'm just going to mute you.
Okay.
So that Neil can start asking me questions.
Okay, fine.
Yes.
Okay, great, Femke. Thank you for bringing a topic to our conversation this morning for Cecilia and I to listen, work with you on.
Yep.
So can you tell us what your topic is all about, please?
I think my topic would be balance. In finding a new balance with having a baby, wanting to do exercise, again getting physically fit again, and doing my work. Right now it doesn't feel balanced. It feels like I'm, from the moment I wake up in the morning till when I go at night, I'm either busy with my son or with my work, and I'm not getting any exercise in. So I need to, have balance, or want to have balance. Let's say that.
Okay. Yeah. So want to have balance.
Yes.
Okay. You mentioned a number of aspects there in terms of balance in your work, balance with your family and your baby. Mm-hmm. Balance in terms of the time available for exercising and things like that?
Yeah.
Okay. And you said it doesn't feel balanced at the moment. So can you tell me exactly how you're using your time at the moment?
How am I using my time at the moment? Right now, it's either my son or work.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. And when it comes to work, I'm so passionate and so excited that I would want to do more work, which doesn't always happen because my son needs me. And so I think also there, I want to make sure that I give him enough attention. But at the same time, to be able to do my work within a specific, between 9 and 5, for example.
Yes.
Or between 9 and 11 in the morning. But, not have to do anything at night and to be able to say, okay, now I'm going to just relax, which is tough with a baby, but
yes. Okay, so those two areas of the work that you need to do with your new son and work, you said that's it at the moment.
Yeah.
So it seems like what you described there, you had two choices where most of your time is actually directed to at the moment, or you'd like to direct it.
That's where it is directed to right now. And
yes,
I noticed that's not necessarily healthy.
Yes. Yes. That's not healthy for you. So when you mentioned things like, being able to find time to exercise, get back into fitness, how would that fit into the way that you're using your time now? If primarily right now you're focusing on your son and your work.
I have no idea.
Okay.
And also as I'm talking about it, I notice a lot of emotion coming up. and I'm not entirely sure, but it's like almost like a lump in my throat and something like a feeling around my heart.
Yes.
As I'm talking about it, I guess.
Okay. Yes. Okay, so can you tell me more about the emotion that is coming up? I'm curious about, you know, when you bring your awareness of that, what is there a meaning that that holds for you? What this emotion, this lump, the feeling around your heart?
It's interesting because I actually have a sense of like it has to do with letting go.
Okay. Letting go.
Yeah. So now that I'm hearing like or talking about it, it's like a almost like a like a dichotomy, or I don't know if that's the right word, but on the one hand I want to be spending all my time with my son, and on the other hand I also feel like I want to do other stuff, but then when I think of doing other stuff there's a sense of I guess sadness of having to let go of my son.
Okay. Yes. Okay, so I'm hearing you describe, I suppose, the at least these two things, you know, the work with your baby, the work that you want to do, mm-hmm. bringing in exercise and fitness.
Yeah.
And a sense of wanting to let something go, and because on the this and on the other hand, it's that.
Yeah.
So I wonder, what do you think is holding this together for you at the moment in terms of, you know, the thinking behind, on the one hand it's this or on the other hand it's that? So is it, you need to let go of? Is it something that you need to let go of to be able to see that there are other options available to you, for example?
Yeah, I think it's that sense of I have to, like, I am the one, or I have to be the one to take care of my son.
Okay. Yeah. So you have to do that.
Yeah. I think that is getting in the way of being able to create balance for myself.
Okay. So is this a rule around you have to do this?
Yeah, it's a rule. And I think there's other beliefs around that as well.
Okay.
That I'm not entirely clear on.
Okay. So is that what we need to be talking about then, to get clarity on the beliefs around the rules at play here that mean on the one hand I can do this and on the other hand it's that? Is that what we need to be talking about?
I think right now that is the main thing.
Okay.
That stops me from actually, because I can talk about like, okay, this was, you know, this is how I can schedule my time, but there's some like this sense of I have to be there for my son. I have to be the one to take care of him. And having like an inability to let go of him.
Yes. Okay.
That is stopping me from, and I guess ultimately then it becomes like a decision. You know, is that something that I want to focus on? In addition to my work, because I think my work in that is also important, or do I want to create more balance?
So you've mentioned balance a couple of times in terms of, you know, what that might mean for you. I'm not sure at the moment. Mm-hmm. In terms of, is balance more about how you're just spending some of your time? So you mentioned like, you know, you could do some work from 9 to 5 or this block of time 9 to 11. But, you know, what does balance mean for you? And if you had balance, you know, what would you be doing? How would you know that you have this new balance?
I think I would have someone who can sometimes take care of my son in a way that I feel like I can like relax and be feel secure and step away completely from that.
Okay.
And have a sense of that I have room to breathe.
Okay. So, you know, you mentioned to be able to relax, a sense of being secure,
mm-hmm.
some room to believe.
To breathe.
So, to breathe.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So when you have those, I mean, what does that enable for you? What would that allow you to do?
To re-energize, to take care of myself.
Yes.
I think those are the most important things.
Okay. Yeah, so re-energize, take care of yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And as you are aware of identifying and bringing that to your awareness,
mm-hmm.
re-energizing, care of yourself, what's even more important to you about those when you have those?
It's... Then I can be, I guess, what is that? What comes up for me? It feels like I then have control.
Okay.
And I can work towards outcomes and have a sense of, okay, I can set goals for, like, I don't know where that came from, but then I can set goals and have a sense of I'm going to be able to reach those goals by the end of the year or by the end of 6 months. But it is that sense of being able to set goals and reach them.
Yes. Okay. So that sense of control to set goals and reach these goals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm really interested, I think, in terms of how the goals relate to the rules that we spoke about just before. So you mentioned to discover the beliefs behind the rules, that on the one hand it's this, on the other hand it's that,
mm-hmm.
and what the relationship between that and this sense of being able to set these goals.
Yeah, because right now I feel... those rules are keeping me mostly like focused on having to take care of my son.
Yes.
And not relaxing in any way.
Yes. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
And that stops me from actually what happens is that I put a lot of energy in like wanting, like I have all these ideas of what I want to achieve and I put energy into it, but it's mm-hmm. not, I can't separate, you know, like, okay, now I'm actually just going to completely focus on this thing and, you know, on either on exercise or writing my book or those kinds of things. It's not, it costs a lot of energy rather than if I just have permission to let that go and to just say, okay, this is my time, and to trust someone to take care of him.
Right. Okay.
And that I think is the key part to, and there's, you know, beyond that, I'm sure there's other stuff, but that's, to work on to achieve those outcomes.
But yes.
That's the main thing I think that's in the way right now.
Okay. Yeah. So just to reflect back what I'm hearing in the conversation so far,
mm-hmm.
in terms of a topic of new balance, to be more able to balance looking after your baby at work, exercise, fitness, other things like writing the book and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
That there are some rules in place at the moment that stop you from letting go of some things that can enable you to achieve some of these other goals.
Yeah.
And I hear you describing about the energy that you're taking up at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then there were two things that you did mention that I'd like to just reflect back to you there as well.
Okay.
About, you mentioned my time. And I'm wondering about the amount of my time that you have available for yourself compared to your time for other people, your time for your baby. So I'm wondering about the self-other meta program there and where mm-hmm. you might find yourself located. And then there were two other things. You mentioned the permission to let go, and you mentioned the trust in someone else as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So given all of that,
I think if you could have seen me probably with the sense of like time for myself, that's where the energy, like where the most emotion came up. I think also trust, and then I think that's like direct indirect relation to trust. But yeah, that's where the energy is. And I think in terms of like, if we talk about present state, I think that's really like what's stopping me right now from looking for solutions. Cause even when I like, and that's a back and forth. So there's like no time for myself, cause either I'm like taking care of my son or I'm, you know, focused on other people in my business, which is, well, you know, my business is also about other people and having like a sense of responsibility for others.
Yes.
As well. And a love, I think also, because what's behind it all is love. But I need to be able to take some for myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, we've gone about 15 minutes. I'm going to step back into the trainer role.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. So in terms of, I'm going to ask you a question, Neil, and then I'm
sure.
It's about Cecilia's thoughts. But in terms of the present state of the coaching conversation,
mm-hmm.
what would that be? What would you like grab hold of?
Yeah, well, for me, the present state was around, I suppose, the feeling of stuckness, of not being able to let go of something because something is holding me back.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that part of the state. Then I think there's all the energy that's involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
That it feels as if it's, I'm using a lot of energy just to do this. And I'm not being able to find time for myself.
Yeah.
So therefore, I'm not energized. I'm not re-energizing myself. And the third aspect, I think, was around, being able to trust others to make the contribution, into this as well. So it seemed like they were the three elements of the present state.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think there are more beliefs behind that.
Yes.
And also the relationship between trust and then the ability to let go.
Yes.
and create that space for myself. I think that would be, you know, that would be the topic of this conversation, ultimately, to be able to achieve some outcomes that apparently I have for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. The letting go is sort of like part of the new strategy to enable you to feel this new balance.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's at least the first part of it. So that, and then I'm sure there's other things involved.
Yes.
To be coached on, but that would be the first topic. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we got to a little bit about the desired state as well, I suppose. Yeah, in terms of...
I would actually say we've got a little bit of the desired effect.
Okay, yes.
And then there is... So if we contrast, we've got a present state, which is... right now, like how would I describe that present state? It's like a, like you called it stuck, and I think that's exactly what it is, because it's because the inability to let go and to trust means that I'm creating this situation for myself where I'm stuck.
Yes,
because I, on the one hand, I want to. Create more time for myself, but on the other hand, I don't. So that's the state that I am in right now. And I think the desired state is like a room to breathe, I think.
You mentioned that, yeah.
And that room to breathe allows me to then eventually achieve certain goals. That's the foundation to be able to do that. What happens after that, I don't know yet. That's not clear. But I think once I've solved this, then that's going to be the effect of that I have energy to be able to focus on that, to structure my days better.
Yes.
While also realizing that I need to be flexible. Because I do have a baby and he doesn't sleep at, you know, necessarily, like one time he'll sleep half an hour, sometimes he'll sleep an hour. And that's just also a reality.
Yes.
So dealing with that reality would be the next topic probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, it's,
That's really interesting, because what I'm hearing you talk about is like, you know, a lot of stepping stones of a strategy process from present state to desired state.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the first step is around letting go so that you can trust.
Yeah.
That creates a desired effect. So your distinction between desired effect and desired state is really useful.
Yeah.
Because the desired effect is then you have room to breathe. That gives you the next state of I can re-energize. Then I can go to structuring my days. Then I can be realistic about the reality of my life and looking after my son.
Yeah.
And that is the step then to be able to do all the things that you want to do, which is this new balance.
Right. And then probably also work on my preference for options.
Yes.
And working with the structure.
Yes. So that's how the meta program plays out. In some of these link coaching topics, so particularly around structuring your days, the options procedure meta program in there.
Like there's like a how do I say that resistance to do structure. But I really like, and so that's also part of it. Is like I like to. I like to kind of go by the seat of my pants.
Yes, yes.
But that's...
Oh, there's Finnegan now.
Yes, there he is. but that doesn't get me the outcomes.
Yes.
So when we're talking about present state, here's the way that I... and that's actually exactly the topic that I'm going to discuss on Friday. in the webinar. There is a desired effect, which is like a lot of the time that's the overall outcome of the coaching conversation.
Yes.
And that's going to give me energy, because if I think of, you know, hey, I have like certain outcomes that I want to achieve, being able to achieve those outcomes, that like is exciting.
Yes.
But then that is not the desired outcome of the coaching conversation.
Yes.
That's something different. So the desired state of the conversation is going from this feeling of being unable to let go,
yes,
and not trusting, to being, yes, able to trust and,
yes,
let go, so that I don't have to do it all by myself. That would be the topic of the conversation.
Yeah, right? Yeah, okay.
And that's how I then map out. This is exactly what I do with my clients. That's how I map out a coaching program. So
yeah,
you've done this, what's next after that?
What's next? Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
So then we've already kind of discussed like three or four different sessions that we can have to get me to that balance that I'm after and reaching certain goals.
Yes.
And we've already prioritized also, like, this is what I need to work on first, this is what's next,
yes,
and then this is what comes after that.
Yes.
And so all of those have different have a slightly different present and desired state.
Yes.
But they're all around the same outcome. So then,
that's good.
As you map that out, then you can say, so tell me more about this, like not trusting. And so when does that specifically come up? So in like to get the present state of, you know, this conversation, when specifically does that not trusting and the sense of I have to do it, I have to take care of my son, myself, when does that occur? So that might be, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, it is when I actually think of the option of letting someone else take care of my son.
Yes.
That's the situation where I have something stopping me, that feeling of resistance comes up, or no, I can't. And there's like a whole bunch of beliefs and feelings around that hold that in place.
Yes.
So then that is where you start to get the strategy process.
Yes.
So that you can figure out, hey, what's going on there? Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's really nice how you've described how a program of say three or four sessions emerge from one conversation.
Yep.
And that, you know, I suppose session one, the topic around letting go and trust, that's what we need to be working on in session one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can ground that in specific contexts of, you know, when, where, and who.
And the specific trigger as well. Because
yes,
otherwise, that feeling is there, but how am I going to shift that feeling? You know, how are you going to know that the change has occurred? Well, then if I think about, you know, putting my son in someone else's care, I feel calm and relaxed or something like that.
Yes.
That would,
yes,
then be the desired state.
Yes.
And then you can start to ask a lot of meta questions around what I feel, what I believe right now about that, do an analysis on that, and take it to the desired state. So what do you need to believe instead?
Yes. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's bring Cecilia in and see what her thoughts are. Hi, Cecilia.
Yes, hello. Well, thank you very much. It was very nice hearing you. One thing I don't know if we should have added is you mentioned rules.
Mm-hmm.
If we should explore more into the rules and what kind of rules that you are not letting you trust or let go, etc.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that should be an issue to put in together. And I would like you to repeat, because you said to map out the strategy, you have to focus on not trusting and let go. And what is the other one about the about the outcomes, about your goals? Was that the other one?
No. For this session,
mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to. So Neil asked me, like, so is this the letting go and the trust? Is that what we need to be talking about today? Yes. Okay. What is your state around that right now? I can't really, I don't really know the right word for that state, but stuck is a good one. I think maybe also fear.
Fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say fear or sadness, I guess, is part of that. Mm-hmm. So then what do I want instead with regards to this present state is feeling relaxed and trusting and calm.
Mm-hmm.
Because and the first step,
space to breathe. You wanted to have a space to breathe too.
Mm. Yeah, that will give me exactly the space to breathe. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so exactly that space to breathe, if that's what I can get out of today's conversation, you know, if we were to do a coaching session, then that would help me. That would be my first step to achieve my goal of having balance that allows me to achieve some greater goals that I have for my business, for my health, for things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then it is really like, what is the question that I always have? What is the present state and desired state of today's conversation that leads to the desired effect? And Cecilia, what you mentioned, that's, I think, Neil, where you could have asked more meta questions once you grounded in, okay, when does this occur?
Yes.
Well, it's when I actually think of putting my son in either daycare or in the care of someone else.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, not just for a one-off thing, but structurally. That's when that state comes up. So then you can trigger me into that state, because just from me talking about it already puts me into the state.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can start asking questions about that, meta questions, like, okay, so one rule is I have to be the one to take care of my son because?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What do you believe about that?
Mm-hmm.
And what, you know, let's say that you were to put him in someone else's care, what do you believe about that that puts you in a state of distrust and fear,
yes,
or worry, or
and so then we should go deeper into that.
Yes, and you know, just from that one question, Cecilia, so just from that meta question, if I just answer that, my thoughts go to my niece dying of SIDS.
Yes.
She was not in the care of, she was in the care of a family member. But I think that plays a big role.
Yes.
And so you, so the conversation then, and that's what I love about meta coaching, is that the conversation starts off with, oh, I want balance.
Yes.
But you get to like something
like that.
A few questions, you get to something like that. Mm-hmm. So then that, like using that as a reference, how is that serving me? Well, it, on the one hand, it's not, but on the other hand, it also makes me feel, safer or protected. So, and there's like more meta questions, but I think that, Neil, like getting the specifics and then asking a few meta questions.
Yes.
That would have taken it to the next level.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then very we good. Should go, yes, and then go deeper into that. Of course, it's a reality that you lived. You lived it 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You weren't thinking that you were going to be pregnant when that happened.
Right. Yeah.
So then we should go deeper into that questions and go into meta questions to look for a desire belief of something happened, but of course it's not going to be something that you're going to live forever with.
Right. So you can ask some more meta questions about that. So that's where your mind goes to. What do you believe about that? Mm-hmm. Now I don't know exactly, but let's say that I would go to, now I believe I can't trust anyone. Mm-hmm. But me, I have to be the one to, because I'm going to be like, this is a belief that I have. I'm going to be the most vigilant.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be even more vigilant than my husband.
Yes. I was going to ask about him. So you are more vigilant than your husband.
Yeah.
Your husband won't be so vigilant as you are.
Yeah. And I have no idea. Like, I don't even think that that's true. Once I speak it. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, as you say that, like, that's when you can start to kind of detect what kind of cognitive distortions are there. It's like an all or nothing thinking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it's things like that. And there's value there. So if you take it to, I don't want to just trust just anyone, but, I'm not the only one bringing up children in this world.
Yes. So. And another question I would have asked you is, what do you think, does your husband think about you being only the vigilant?
Well, he doesn't know.
he doesn't know.
I don't think, because I wasn't even aware of that.
Imagine he does. Well, I'm what I'm trying to say is seeing it outside of a different perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if that is, how you say that? If that contributes to the solution, and it might. So, that might be an issue. I don't know, but like, because right now I'm thinking, well, who cares what he thinks of it? I have to be, because ultimately what's the most important thing is my son being safe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that there's like a, you can't control everything. It's too exhausting. So then I think once we have, mapped out certain beliefs around that, because I'm sure there's like, some more juicy beliefs around that. Then it is analyzing it, and then it is a sense of quality controlling it. and seeing like, okay, how is this serving you? In what ways is it not serving you?
Yes.
Like what would you like instead? And then, you know, it's a sense of making a decision. But I think like creating an away from this state is really critical as well, because it's so strong. It's so protective in that sense. But at least like you notice that in just a few questions, you can get to the core. Mm-hmm. Mm. So what Neil did in 15 minutes was doing an exploration of the overall outcome and the overall scope, and narrowing in on, okay, this is what we need to be talking about, just 15 minutes. And then in like 5 minutes more, we just in discussing, we've asked a few meta questions and we get to the heart of the matter. Mm-hmm. So that's just in 20 minutes that we do that. Mm-hmm. By grounding it and by then asking meta questions. And first, Neil, that's exactly what I do. At first, I don't necessarily immediately ground it or ask very detailed questions. I first explore the spot.
Yes. Yes.
And that allows me to map out, okay, this is in general terms, this is where you want to go. These are the things that we need to work on. Now let's grab hold of this one thing. Let's go there.
Yes.
And
yes.
Go into detail there.
Yeah, I think that's a key insight as well in terms of the exploration of the topic, because when topics are brought forward, there's often so many things involved here. So you could go, you'd grab A or B or C or D or whatever.
Yes.
But at some time, there'll be a realization that this is like, we can check, is this the topic?
Yes.
And then it feels like that is then the moment to really ground it in specific context.
Yes.
And once the grounding has happened, then it can really be unpacked and opened up again through meta question exploration.
Right.
And like, as you said, you know, identifying, you know, whether in this case, this leverage point, this, you know, the reference experience, mm-hmm. about, you know, a niece dying or something like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can then explore the significance of that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think what was really interesting there in terms of how you then link that to, just say, the axes of change. And then that came back to, you know, the motivation axis.
Yeah.
So do we have enough away from here?
Mm-hmm.
Is the pull of, you know, the towards, you know, does it have the power to enable you to, you know, take the next step in terms of decision?
Yes. And that also means knowing what to change. So that motivation and the motivate towards and away from is going to be easier. Once I know what specifically the cognitive distortions are and how it is affecting me, and knowing what we're going to change. And
yes.
then also saying, hey, you know, I still want to make sure that, that, you know, so that's where you can do a validation. So it sounds like you're what's really important is the love for your son and having him
yes.
be safe.
Yes.
So that's validating, you know, which you still want to show up in the desired state.
Yes.
But in a healthier yes. way.
Yes. Yeah.
And so the outcome could also be then taking a decision like, I'm going to stay how I am at this moment, understanding how valuable the love of my son is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That could be a decision also.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I have a question. with Michael, we always have the let's say the a little bit the pressure of having to have the outcome, the funnel at the beginning of the session. But yeah. Now you focused in another way. You focused it into the present state for the desired state. I'm a little bit confused now with the outcome, with the well-formed outcome, and this 20-minute session.
Right. Yeah. So here is the way that I look at it, Cecilia, is that you cannot ask the. So what we've done now is focus on the first five questions. First mm-hmm. six questions of the well-formed outcome funnel.
Is what you want? Why yeah. do you want it?
What? Why? What will that look like?
BAK? BAK?
So, yeah, that hasn't really been asked, but that would be valuable to ask. And then the context questions.
Okay.
And like the way I look at it is you cannot, without doing any asking any meta questions, doing an analysis of what is going on here, how can you ask of me the question 7, what do you need to do to get there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't know, let's say that you stay on the surface, and so you want, I want to get from distrust to trust and being able to get someone else to take it. To look after my son for like one morning a week, something like that, so that I can do my exercise or something like that. if you ask me without knowing what's behind the situation, so without knowing, mapping out the present state, I'm not going to be able to give you very good answers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why I always say, like, you know, if you do a little bit more exploration, and you can do that, you know, we give you 25 minutes, but you're not, like, with topics like this, like, we already, you know, looked at, like, 4 different sessions that we can do. So it's a coaching program. I usually take an hour to an hour and a half with someone to map out a coaching program.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we work on email to refine it even more. Because I believe that, and actually that's my experience, from actually doing that and spending more time on that and spending a good amount of time on doing the exploration and analysis and determining what needs to be worked on, I've been able to cut my sessions from 8 sessions for a coaching program to 6 with better results and in 1 hour sessions rather than an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Just because I do that. And from, I think from this conversation, you know, Neil got to the, because he kept feeding back to me and because he kind of structured it in such a way, oh, we've got this and we've got this and we've got this.
Mm-hmm.
That allows us to like in just 15 minutes get to like a real the real core issues.
Yes.
So does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Yes, and it gives me a different perspective with it, because I understood that you always had to go into the, you know, to all the questions of the well-formed outcome. And I sometimes, many times have difficulties because we go into the present state and we explore more into the present state. And then I ask myself, how do I come to the next question of, for example, do you know what to do or what do you have to do or do you know the steps?
Yeah.
So I have difficulties in getting into those questions, specific yeah. precisely because of that, because we are going deeper into the situation.
Right. Have you, did you watch the webinar on detection and analysis?
No.
That is going to help you. I'll send you the link. The whole idea is once you've got the first 5-6 questions of the well-formed outcome, and it doesn't matter whether they're from the present state or desired state, you kind of do that dance in between. That's going to give you a gap. Then you want to kind of take a step back, like Neil did. Hey, I'm hearing all or nothing thinking. I'm hearing that you're using a reference experience that might not be, useful. I'm hearing all these rules and shoulding. So then we do an analysis. So out of all of that, what is it specifically that we need to work on? Like, and then you can get to that, because you do the analysis and you know, okay, this is what needs to change. Then you can ask that question, what is it that we need to do to get from A to B?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you do that through your analysis.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'll send you the link to that webinar.
Please. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and it is a sense of, like I said, just so, like, to give you an example, like when I sat for my PCMC level, mm-hmm. I spent 45 minutes out of the hour on getting the outcome and really pinpointing what do we need to work on. And then I spent like 15 minutes on the change, on the actual coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do it really well, the shift is really easy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Huh? Very nice. Very good, Neil. You're a good coach.
Well, thank you, Cecilia. A wonderful conversation. It's great to hear your perspectives and the things that you heard.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. And I, you know, the question as well about, you know, the 25 minutes for the well-formed outcome pattern.
Yes.
That's been a question I've had as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think not to let it go, but I think what Femke's suggesting is to do more exploration.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think however you frame this, Femke, I like it was like, you know, sometimes you begin coaching too soon.
Yes.
And I think I'm beginning to really understand what that means.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I agree with you. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that you can't, Neil, you could have in 25 minutes nailed the outcome. Because you were already so far in 15 minutes. You were just a few specificity questions. So the context questions.
Yes. Yes.
The AK and like, couple of meta questions away from nailing the outcome, asking question 7. And then all you need to do is this ecological for you, and then you're at level 2.5.
yes.
And then it's not, you know, you're, and then beyond that you're not so far off of asking the rest of the well-formed outcome question.
Yeah.
And what I always experience, once you have the context and the trigger, then you also, like, how will you know? Well, I will know that if I think of, putting my son in someone else's care, I feel relaxed and confident.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how I will know.
Yes.
And
you won't have that feeling on your heart and your throat.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's, so just, you know, spending that time in the beginning means also that you can go through the well-formed outcome pretty quickly.
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think much more with more impact for the client as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And that links back to like one of the outcomes for me in the program. I might have mentioned like, you know, so my sessions are quicker, are shorter.
Yeah.
And that's what you've said, you know, from 8 sessions to 6 or hour and a half to an hour.
Yeah.
So finding, you know, an impactful conversation for a client in the shortest amount of time that it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what you've shown today is that you've made a lot of progress in that.
Mm.
Is that something that you experienced yourself?
Yes. Yeah. I think, beginning to understand and to feel what it's like to do that exploration.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah, that's been really useful.
Yeah. Very nice. Well, Cecilia, do you have any more questions?
I was thinking about what I mentioned at the beginning about the my case with the managers.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think the same session doing it with them.
Yeah.
If it's something that I should explore in that way, making those 5 or 6 first questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
The outcome for them is having people engaged to the company, engaged to their goals.
Yeah. So how, like, I would want to know in what ways, so all managers probably have an example, mm-hmm. Of how an employee is not engaged. And yeah. to then kind of look at how they relate to that, you know, how do they respond to the lack of engagement? And what do they believe about that? And then kind of analyzing like are they doing any blaming? Are they doing any labeling, personalizing, things like that?
Mm-hmm.
Because those things are going to be getting in the way of them relating and being willing to get feedback from the employees, so that they can make the necessary changes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think, I don't know if you have any time to before you meet with the managers to watch this video on detection and analysis, but that it would be quite valuable, I think.
Yes, I would.
Mm-hmm. So I'm actually...
Well, I had a surgery, so I'm at home now.
Okay.
Yes, so I have time now. Okay. I will do that. Yes.
And how do you feel? Do you feel okay?
Yes, it's okay. It was with a laser, laparoscopy. I don't know if it's
okay.
But yeah. Everything is okay. I'm fine.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
Yes. Thank you. Well, thank you very much. It was very interesting.
Good. That's good to hear. I'm right now creating the link for you, sending you the link.
Okay.
Oops. So if you have any questions after that, just feel free to email me.
Yes.
And also, I will be listening to your coaching session this week.
Okay.
So we can schedule, have you started working on the new, the module 1?
No.
Okay. So if you could do that, work on module 1 and set your outcome for the program.
Then okay.
And get on a call and discuss the feedback.
Okay.
And also your outcome statement and refine that.
I would do so. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Neil.
Thank you, Cecilia. It's great to catch up this morning.
Yes. Well, it's afternoon.
Afternoon, of course.
Yep.
The sun has just come up for me.
I see. So for you, it's tomorrow for us.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. Well, interesting.
Yeah. I'm always in the future for half the people in the world.
Future, yes. How does the future look? That's nice. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you both for making this a really great session. Yes. I will be posting it online so you can listen back to it. And we meet 2 weeks again from now. If you have any questions in the meantime, you can post them in the Facebook group.
So it's going to be on Tuesdays at this time?
Yes.
Yeah. Tuesdays at your 12 p.m. It's my one afternoon. It's 1 hour later. I'm 1 hour later than you are.
Oh, you're 1 hour later? Yeah. So it's going to be going back to an hour earlier. I don't know if you have any daylight savings, but we did daylight savings.
And no, we don't.
Haven't done that yet. Yeah. So then it'll be 12 o'clock your time.
Okay, then even better for me. Okay. Thank you very much.
Perfect.
Okay. Well, nice to meet you, Neil.
Yes, and you too.
We will be listening.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Have a great day and afternoon.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.